2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's about being a good soldier for Christ Jesus, a soldier for the Savior. And so we ought to recognize that. There are some that are against the idea about military, but let me remind you, the Bible is full of thoughts and full of pictures where God is the Lord of the host, which is an army. He has called Israel to fight the good fight, to protect their borders, to do things in the Old Testament. And I believe as a believer in Christ Jesus, we're called to defend our country, that we may have a safe country so we can worship the one true God. And so that's the whole purpose to our military, to recognize, to keep a country free, and really so we can worship the Lord and lift up his great name. And so I'm going to read a little extra other than just verse 3 and 4, but just get down to verse 7. So notice what it says right here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be the first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all these things." Let me read that one more time. "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us hope and direction. And Father, thank you for the peace that gives when we simply do what it says. And so, Lord, today I pray that we be a people that would honor you by doing that, that you give us understanding and wisdom and guidance, that we consider what you say and follow that with all of our hearts. Lord, give me unction to speak this morning in such a way that all could understand and recognize your word for the authority that it has in it and for the way of life that it also shows. Lord, I pray that you give me words to say, that you give me a clear voice and a clear mind. Remove my past that distracts me. Let me be found focused on you, not entangled with all these other things. Thank you, Lord, for that promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, I'm thankful for men and women that served. I remember a story about Rob Smith when he made his way to boot camp. He was struggling there, as all those men were. They were day in and day out, and they gave time for a three-day off for the weekend. But the instructor said, "I need somebody that has great artistic ability. Anybody in here pretty good at our artwork stuff?" Rob Smith raised his hand, trying to find favor with the drill instructor. Says, "Yes, sir, I'm a pretty good drawer." He said, "Well, step this way." What he did not know is everybody else got a three-day pass for the weekend. He had to stay behind and print every soldier's name in Army-issued underwear that weekend. Now, I'm telling you, the Army is a different place. It is a good thing, and we need to recognize, as civilians, we may not understand all these things. A soldier's life is one under authority of a commander, that so a mission can be accomplished. That is the idea of the Apostle Paul when he tells Timothy and us to be a good soldier. We need the same mindset so that the mission of spreading the gospel, making disciples, can be accomplished. And so let me share a few things about this idea of being a soldier for the Savior. First, a good soldier is picked. A good soldier is picked. If you notice verse 4, at the end of the verse says that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. That is, chosen him to be a soldier. We recognize in that word, in the Greek there, it is kind of an unusual word. It is stratolegego. It means to enlist into an army, to gather in. We know that Israel had a draft. The Romans had a draft. We, as in my age, did not undergo that. But many of you recognized and were drafted to serve in the military. And so it is the same idea, that is a call to join the ranks. And we recognize, as we look to the Bible, there's a call or a pick for salvation. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love." Now, that's a little different word of the Greek there, but it means to be called up and to be called in. And I'm reminded that God is there who brings us to a point of salvation. And we know that if God doesn't call us, we cannot be saved. The Bible says this in John chapter 6, verse 44. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at that last day." We recognize the call of God is there, and that God wants people to be saved. Matter of fact, I believe that call goes to everyone because of what 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says. who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so I like the idea that Christ offers forgiveness for everyone, everywhere, if we'll simply heed the call of God. You say, well, how can you be sure? I'm telling you, if you're here today, God's calling you to be saved. If you're here today, God wants you to be saved. If you're here today, God yearns for you to fall in love with Him, to follow Him. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Even in the Old Testament, we find in Isaiah 45, 22, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Romans chapter 10 says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. And so the Spirit calls, He enlists, He yearns for you to join the army of the living God. And so we must join when called. Luke chapter 13, verse 5 says this, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What I'm trying to say is God's calling and God's calling and God's calling. Unless you enlist, unless you accept that call, there is not anything good left for you except for this idea that you will perish away one day. You may think you're fine in the way you're going, but I'm telling you, you are not. Without Christ, you are missing. If your foundation is not on Christ, what you place your foundation on will crumble sooner or later. I remember a story told in 1976 about Evelyn Moore. She was a person that liked to rappel off mountains, and she was a professional. Matter of fact, they wanted to do an advertisement with her, and so she was going to come off a mountain, but the Mark Twain South County Bank thing, the big, huge building. And so it was just an exercise to show off some different things. Well, anyway, she tied things down and began to rappel off that building. But what she did not recognize, but the thing that she tied off to was not a permanent structure. And it ripped off as she went down about halfway, and she perished to her death. I'm telling you, the problem with that is she failed to have a secure anchor. And so when Christ calls us, you can bet with all of your life that He is that secure anchor that will not fail us. And so He picks us, chooses us for salvation. He calls to us. I wonder, will you accept that call today? Not only did He pick us for salvation, but He also picks us for service. Verse 3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier. I'm reminded what a good soldier is. It is a go-getter. Not a bunch of generals. That's not what He's called us to do, but a bunch of grunts. Now, you may not know what a grunt is, but that's somebody that gets down into the foxhole. That's somebody that plows the line. That's somebody that is willing to get down to the nitty and the gritty and really get after it. I'm reminded that we're called to be under authority and follow Him. And so every person in this room is called not to be a general, but a grunt. Not a general, but a go-getter. Every person in this room has a commanding officer. And we'll see in a few minutes that's either going to be yourself or the Savior. And so we're called to serve. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Romans 6, 12 says this, let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. And so we're called to make a choice to serve the Lord. We're called to choose Him and live for Him. We are called to do something for Him. Has God called you to teach? Then teach with all your heart. Has God called you to preach? Then preach with all your heart. Has God called you to be a deacon? Well, deacon with all your heart. If God's called you to cook on Wednesday night dinners, cook with all your heart. The ultimate goal is to serve the Lord, and in doing so, you encourage others to be a part of the faith, and you strengthen the body of Christ. The ultimate goal for the soldiers is to complete the mission, and that is to make disciples. Even your attendance helps make disciples. Not too long ago, somebody showed up on a Wednesday night, and I didn't know who it was, so I introduced myself. She said, I just saw all the cars here the last few weeks. I just wanted to find out what's going on here on Wednesday nights. Your attendance is part of the mission of Christ. He wants you to be a faithful part of the believers. And so when God's called you to serve, do things until God says stop and move on. Do things until God gives you another job or you graduate to another level. I'm telling you, whatever God's called you to do, do it with all that you are. So let me ask you, have you said yes to the call of God? Have you joined the battlefield in serving Him? What are you doing as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? He is called. Will you simply follow Him? Well, not only is a good soldier picked, but a good soldier perseveres. A good soldier perseveres. Again, verse 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier." Endure hardness. Kakopatheo, it is an unusual word again. It means to endure or suffer through bad things. And we recognize there's a lot of things that go on in the world that are not good that we have to suffer through. That word is the same word used in Matthew chapter 16 when it says this in verse 21. "From that time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer," there's the word, "many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." And so he's called us to endure hardships. You may be saying, "Well, that's not what I want to do. That's not what I want to live through. Why are you saying this for me to understand?" Well, let me remind you. I want you to know that there are hardships coming. There are storms in life that will come. James chapter 1 says this, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." I'm just telling you, if you're here today and everything's going wonderful, just hang on. It won't be in a little bit, but don't let that catch you by surprise. Recognize that it's going to be okay. Secondly, I don't want you to feel alone. Don't get in this idea that when you have a hardship or trial that you're the only one ever going through this. No, that's the idea of Satan, to separate you, make you feel lonely, and say, "Oh, no one cares." I'm telling you, that is not the case. You, along with everyone else, always will have some trials in your life. But thirdly, and maybe the most important thing is that in our struggles, it creates a great blessing. James chapter 1, verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." We are called to endure, and when we endure, man, what a reward we will have one day. And so you say, "Well, what kind of trials are in my future?" Well, let me remind you, hardships come in all kind of forms and from different sources. Let me just give you a few real quick. Sometimes our suffering comes from our instructor. Sometimes our suffering comes from our instructor. Hebrews chapter 12 reminds us, wherefore, Hebrews 12:9 says, "Wherefore we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subject to the Father of spirits and live?" So I'm telling you, sometimes our Heavenly Father chastises us, corrects us, gives us some hardships and trials that it leads us in the right direction. I think about a football coach. You look at those guys, they are sometimes screaming and hollering and yelling. Why? Because they're giving instruction. It is never pleasant for somebody to be screaming in your face, but yet you know it's for your own good. It may be like a drill instructor. Like Rob Smith, who later graduated to be a drill instructor, yelling and screaming. Why? To prepare those guys for the mission ahead. I heard a good story about a drill instructor that would yell, "Halt," and he noticed for the umpteenth time the recruit kept going to the right instead of the left on the command to turn left. And so finally the drill instructor walked over there and stomped his left foot and said, "Now you know when I say left, you go to the place that hurts the most. That's the one that hurts on the left." And so we find that sometimes our drill instructor, our Father in heaven, sometimes gets our attention to help us to do the right things. In our spiritual life, it is our Savior that does bring us hardships for the greatest reason. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." Can I tell you this? One of the greatest ways that you know that you're a believer is when you know that you're in sin and then God chastises you. When you know that your decision that you've made is not right, that you've turned away, and then chastisement follows, you know that it is of the Lord. The other thought is, if you say that you're a believer and you're living in blatant sin and nothing bad is going on, I'm telling you, there's a danger there, because the Father chastises and scourges every son whom he receives. Malachi in the Old Testament points out about two fires. One, there's the hell fire, but also there's the refiner's fire, how the Lord refined Israel and brought them to be as they should be in Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. And yet we recognize all through this that the Lord does it for the right reasons. Again, Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And so sometimes our suffering comes from our instructor, but sometimes our suffering comes from our enemy, Satan. Luke chapter 22 says this, "And the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." And the idea was there that Simon, Peter, was told that, hey, Satan wants to get a hold of you and turn you upside down. He wants to make your life miserable. And we recognize that sometimes in our life that happens. You say, why would the enemy mess with me? Because you're made in the image of God, and he hates that. Satan wants to turn your life upside down. He wants to disqualify you. He wants to take away your service. He wants to disenfranchise you. He wants to discourage you. He doesn't want you to be used as a soldier of the Lord. He wants to do everything he can to keep you from being there. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians that we should do something about that. Notice what he says when it comes to fighting our enemy. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." There is a real struggle that takes place. There is a real enemy. Fight that good fight. Put on the armor of God. Recognize the enemy out there and understand he's trying to bring suffering and hurt. And it will be okay, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's a third thing that brings hardship, suffering, and trials. And that is, our suffering comes by our ego. It comes by our ego. There's the mentality that says, I'm going to do it my way and my way only. It's my way or the highway. And let me just tell you, that way many times conflicts with the Savior's way. And it's important to recognize that our ego, our self, who we think we are, who we want to be, if it's not in line with Christ, it will not bring us great profit, but bring us great harm. That's why Paul, speaking about his ego, his self, said this, "I bring my body under." In 1 Corinthians 9, 27, he says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." And so we find that in these hardships, our body, our mind wants to do one thing, but yet the Lord wants us to do something else. All these things begin to conflict with us, and we need to put away our selfish desires and get away from this idea about it's all about me, about what makes me feel good. We need to recognize and help ourselves to be found faithful. And so put away self and maybe even sorriness that keeps us from living as we should. The Bible says this about ourselves in Matthew chapter 26, 41. "Watch and pray that ye enter not temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And so we must endure to keep on keeping on. God the Father continues to ask us to do those acts of faith, to be that good soldier. So let me ask you, are you serving in these times of hardship? Are you battling those things around you? Are you simply giving up? Are you on a crusade for Christ? Are you just coasting? God's called us to simply persevere, to endure the struggles, to face the hardships, and keep on keeping on. Here's the third thing I want you to see. A good soldier is picked. A good soldier perseveres. But thirdly, a good soldier pleases his commander. A good soldier pleases his commander. Verse 4. "No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier." The soldier's highest priority is to please the commander. The highest priority is for the soldier to do what the commander says. Years ago, I found this illustration. It's really made a big change in my life, the way I think about ministry. Here's what it says. If two angels in heaven were given an assignment by doing, one to govern the largest city in the world and the other to sweep the streets of the smallest city in the world, both will be equally pleased because they are doing the will of the Lord. Let that sink in just for a moment. So many times in life we think about serving and, oh, I'm not going to serve because I can't be this, or I can't do this, or I can't do these things. My little job is this. It really doesn't make a difference. If you think about that, the largest city and governing it versus sweeping the streets of the smallest one, in the same outcome is to please the commander. How much more should we? And so how can we please our commander? our Father above, the Lord Jesus, one, by being a full-time soldier, by being a full-time soldier. That is the idea of focused on the right things. He says this about being entangled with the wrong things. He says this, that Worth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. That word entangled is impleco. The word pleco is to weave, like they weave a tapestry together. And so impleco means to be woven into. And so he's basically saying, if you weave yourself into this world, if you entangle yourself with the world so strongly that you can't serve Christ, it is not good. And so we must be a full-time soldier. We must fix on this idea that I will live for Christ 24/7. The Bible says this in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now I'm telling you, you've got to live. You got to go to work. There's a lot of things you got to do, but it should not take priority over the one goal, and that is to serve the Lord. Everything else should go by the wayside except for this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then it says, all these things shall be added unto you. Colossians says like this, whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Verse 23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And so the Lord's called us to be a full-time believer. It's not that we just come in this building and we're a Christian for a couple hours and we leave and then we're something else. No, my friends, it is not. Last night I saw somebody on TV on the sports after a football game. And they interviewed this coach that had stepped in. And the first thing he said out of his mouth was, I want to praise the Lord. He said some great Christian things. And then the next 30 to 40 seconds, they had to bleep out four or three curse words that this man said on national TV. He said, I want to praise the Lord. And then swearing, no offense, sailors, like a sailor, amen. Let me tell you, the hypocrisy in one sense, you say, oh, just in the heat of battle, let me tell you what that happens. You may come in here, praise the Lord today, and lift up your voice and sing and feel good, and as you meditate on those songs and think about the Word of God, and man, it may feel great and wonderful, and then when you leave out of this building, live like the devil himself. What a contradiction that is. Paul's saying, be a full-time soldier. Don't be entangled with the things of this world, but because you cannot please the one who's called you. And so how do you do that again? This focus, it is fighting when called upon. God wants you to fight the good fight. Here's a secret. We don't fight only when we feel like it, but at every time our commander asks. And so there's going to be times in your life as a good soldier for Christ, you don't feel like going to church. You don't feel like witnessing. You don't feel like giving. You don't feel like doing this for the Lord. You don't feel like keeping nursery. You don't feel like going out and helping somebody else. You don't feel like doing the wheelchair ramps. You don't feel like those things. A good soldier gets past the feel and follows the commands of the one who gives those directions, which is our Lord and Savior. So we need to fight when called upon. Second, we need to fight the right cause against the right person or the right character. Make sure you're fighting the right person or the right thing. Many of you probably don't recognize Pat Tillman's name. Pat Tillman was a man in the military that also was very good at football. Went and played professional sports as a football. I think he was a linebacker. But while he was playing football, he said, you know, I need to go back and serve my country. Left professional football, making millions of dollars probably, goes back to the military, goes back to special forces, and gets killed in combat. Not by the enemy, but by friendly fire. Now, you say that's terrible, and it is, and it happens. But what a shame for the same thing to happen in the Lord's army, that we fight the good fight, and then friendly fire kills some of us because we get in the way of other things. Let us make sure we're fighting the right cause and the right character. Let us fight those things. Don't kill others with that gossip, which is a double-edged sword. Don't let jealousy abound in the church today. Don't let bitterness take the bee out of the Baptist stand. We need to make sure that we are right for the Lord. We're all on the front line swinging the sword for Christ. And so we must fight that good fight for the right cause. Fight also with the right weapon. I've already mentioned Ephesians chapter 6, but I'm going to read it again. He says this, because I think we need this. He says in Ephesians 6:14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and all supplication for all saints." Fight with the right weapons. That is the word of God. Use what God has entrusted. Don't fight with the flesh. Fight with the weapons that God has given you. And so we please him by being a full-time soldier, but also by finishing the mission. By finishing the mission. Now, I want to read 5 and 6 says, because it's related here, "If any man also strive for the masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman or the farmer that laboreth must first partake of the fruits." And so those verses speak about the end game, about an end reward. And so let me remind you that the soldier fights to finish the mission that is placed before him, to finish the good fight. Remember our verse in 2 Timothy 4, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me at that day. And not only to me only, but all those that love his appearing." And so when we finish well, it is going to be a glory for us, but also for all those that come around us too, as they see us fight that good fight. We are called to live for Christ Jesus. We're called to be a good soldier. I wonder today, could you say that about yourself? That I've joined the army of Christ because he's called me. That I'm willing to serve because he's given me the right weapons. That I will do what God has called me to do. That I will finish the mission that God's placed in front of my life. I hope so. Let me end with this. Somebody wrote this years ago, and it's good. He says, "I am a member of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of his. I won't look back, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sidewalking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, same visions, mundane talking, chintzy giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need to be preeminent or have prosperity, promotions, positions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, regarded, or rewarded, or praised. I now live by the present, lean by faith, and walk by patience, lifted by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions few, my guide reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, lured, manipulated, enticed, or bribed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of an enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I've stayed up, prayed up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of his. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till all I know, work till he stops me. And when he comes back, he will have no problem recognizing me. For I've forgotten all that is in the past. I'm pressing for the prize and the high calling of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My colors are clear. I'm a disciple of his. I am a soldier for the King. A good soldier for the King. The question is, are we? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. The Lord desires for all of us to be a good soldier, and it starts by being enlisted by him. If God's calling this morning, don't back away. If God's yearning you to be in this army, in this body of believers, don't turn away from that. If God is calling this morning and nudging your heart, say yes. As we sing in a minute, just walk down the aisle and say, "Brother Paul, I need to be saved, or I have been saved. I want to make that public." Maybe you're here and you've done that, and God's called you to persevere, and maybe you're not today. Maybe you're not being that good soldier and fighting that good fight. Maybe you're not following what God's called you to do. Maybe you're not following and doing the mission that God's placed in your life. Let this be the day you start. The past is done. But from this day forward, let the present be something that you steady serve him. Maybe it's a rededication this morning. Maybe it's just getting this altar and praying. Maybe right where you stand this morning, you'll just say, Lord Jesus, help me to fight the good fight, to finish my course, to do what you call me to do. Thirdly, maybe it's church membership and God's called you to fight in this place the good fight. Why not walk forward and say, Brother Paul, I want to be a part of this place and serve him here. Maybe you want to pray for somebody else in this house, or a friend or a family or somebody that you know that needs the Lord. Part of fighting that good fight is prayer. When you read that Ephesians passage 6, it speaks about praying. And so today we have an invitation given by the Lord from the Word of God. We ought to follow. And as I speak this invitation to kind of show those things that God said, why not this morning act upon that, to simply follow him, that we all may be good soldiers and do the will of God. God's calling you this morning. Don't hold back. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us hope and direction, that commands us and calls us for us to serve you. Lord, help us to all recognize we're all in this together, that we all need you in every kind of way. So bless the invitation from your word. Bless the invitation as it was spoken today. Let it be a convicting word that penetrates all of our lives, that we may follow you. Thank you for all these things now. We ask all this in Jesus' name, our commander.